Well-developed characters will eventually go and do their own thing. Let them. That is probably actually one of the biggest writing lessons. Well-developed characters, they come to life, they go and do their own thing. Your job as the writer, as the storyteller, is to let them, just follow them, listen to them, let them take you on a better story than the one you had planned. Hi, I'm Jenny, and welcome to Writing Lessons From, where every week I break down a story I've consumed, usually a TV show or a film, because that's how I roll, and figure out what the writing lessons are that we can take from it to improve our own writing and storytelling craft. And this week, we're looking at Starstruck. Yay! Hi, there wasn't an episode last week, and I'm not going to tell you why. Only the people on my mailing list know why. Haha. If you want to join the mailing list, the link is in the show notes, or you can go to writeintothewoods.com/writing lessons from. It's WRITE intothewoods.com. Not as in right, left, into the woods. Anyway, this week I thought I was being clever. Back in 2024, April 2024, I did two separate Substack articles about Starstruck. And the first part was about series one and two, because I didn't know that there was a series three. And then the part two was about series three. And I thought, well, that's silly doing that as a podcast. I might as well blend them to, not blend them, but, you know, record one and then record the other one. And I thought that if I did two episodes like that, then instead of having two short, like 12-minute long episodes, I would end up with one double-length episode, a bit like the Alien Earth one a few weeks ago, whatever that was, you know, a longer episode. And so I've recorded it all, I've done it all, I've edited it, and it's just a normal length episode. How did that happen? I have no idea. Magic. So let's just do Starstruck all together now, in the all together. Back in April 2024, I was stressed. I mean, welcome to 2025. And in desperate need of lying on the sofa watching Netflix. Again, welcome to 2025. I mean, nothing's changed. I had Starstruck recommended to me ages before, and I adore Rose Matafeo, who co-created and stars in it. So I thought this would be the perfect thing to stick on. And here we are. Writing lessons from Starstruck. Not quite the restful lie down I was hoping for. Starstruck is easy to binge or watch at a reasonable pace. You might want to watch it before reading on. It is available on the BBC iPlayer. And apparently season one and two, when I wrote this, were on Netflix. I don't know if they still are, but go and check it out if you've got Netflix and you don't have the BBC iPlayer. Surely it's just easier just to go on the BBC iPlayer. There are giant, massive spoilers ahead. You have been warned. Starstruck follows Jessie, played by Rose Matafeo, a New Zealander millennial living in London who does not have her life together and enjoys casual sex. She's wonderful. She lives with her bestie, Kate, who is lovely, and at a New Year's Eve party meets famous actor Tom, played by Nikesh Patel. Not that she knows he's a famous actor. They don't exactly hit it off immediately, but their opposites attract vibe leads them to falling into bed together to see in the new year. The first series then follows them throughout the course of a year as they dip in and out of one another's lives, unable to get each other out of their heads. I loved series one. Jessie is a mess. I love her. She gets fired from her nanny job because she's awful at it. She loses a wad of cash, failing to buy back her own donated clothes from a posh charity shop. She drops her phone on her head while lying in bed, been there, done that, and finally getting together with Tom at a film premiere, only to be kept in the hotel bathroom by him because his current squeeze interrupts them. Something that would have been a deal breaker for me, but not for Jessie. The first series had a coherent structure, taking us season by season through the year, with great character development, and by the end, they're silently together. Series 2 picks up immediately after Series 1 ends with the big question of, what now? I'm going to say this quickly, like ripping off a wax strip. Series 2 was not as good. Every romance needs a why. The main problem in my mind was that Jessie and Tom felt flat. Despite their brilliance in Series 1, Series 1 shows them being drawn to one another. Series 2 should have shown us the why. Instead, we see them get together, break up, mainly because they refuse to talk properly. This is a common complaint amongst romance fans and feels a little lazy in terms of writing. One good thing about series two is that Tom gets more character development. We start to see him in more awkward situations with his parents, his arrogant brother, the awful director. Yet it doesn't translate into his relationship with Jesse, and I'm not sure why. And who the hell is Ben? My main issue with series two was Ben. Jesse's ex-boyfriend, labelled the dickhead, reappears in her life, invites her to his nan's funeral, and offers her a job in an attempt to get back with her. She fails to tell Tom that her new job is with her ex-boyfriend, resulting in a huge argument when Kate accidentally lets it slip, which is fine. But who the hell is Ben? I watched both series one and two very closely together over the course of 4 days, and I didn't have a clue. It wasn't until I Googled it to see what others were saying before writing this that I discovered Ben is the man Jesse moved to the UK for, who then broke her heart. This should have been mentioned more than once in series two. Jesse should have been more torn about being around him, considering how much he hurt her. More should have been made of their history. Instead, Jesse and Ben fell back into easy conversation, easier than Jesse and Tom to a certain extent. There's no real mention of pain or anguish. We skip forward in time, but without the cute season labels from series one, and suddenly we're at a hen slash stag do that Jesse, Ben and Tom have all been invited to. Jesse tells Ben she doesn't want to be with him, although they have been sleeping together, which we haven't seen anything of because of the time skip. Jesse and Tom kiss. Jesse has a quick epiphany about how she sabotages herself and declares her love for Tom. Why does she love him? Tom seems to like that Jesse is kooky, but it's never explained why Jesse loves Tom, other than him being gorgeous and rich. So what are the writing lessons here? Are Jesse and Tom even compatible? I'm not sure. I want them to be, but the relationship feels a little forced at times. We should at least understand why they love each other. Did they even know why they love each other? This feels like the TV equivalent of a show don't tell lesson. It feels like the writers are telling us that Jesse and Tom love each other, and so we have to accept that. Ben is the ex-boyfriend and they've been sleeping together, and we have to accept that, despite not knowing how Jesse feels after sex with the man who hurt her. The character development was done so well in series one, I have trouble believing that this is the issue. Series two just feels rushed. If they had kept the same structure as series one and shown us more of what Jesse and Tom were both feeling about everything going on, it could have been better. The lesson I took from series two was one of exploration. I was longing for more concepts to be explored. What grief does Ben bring up in Jesse? Why does she allow men to keep treating her so badly? The complexities of Jesse and Tom need further exploration, and that is the fun of character development. Say it again. Exploration is the fun of character development. Exploring every facet of your characters and laying them bare in your words. I have a theory about Jesse and Tom from a writing point of view, but I need to watch series three to confirm this. Okay, so that was the end of part one, Starstruck, that I wrote back in April. And now, part two. As I mentioned, after getting to the end of series two, I had a theory about the romance between Jesse and Tom and why that series didn't quite hit right. Series three allowed me to figure out if my theory could have been right. Now, obviously, spoilers ahead for series three, BBC iPlayer, as I said before. Check it out. Okay, let's start with my theory. So, during series two, I started to wonder if the creators and writers had started with this brilliant idea of having a chaotic, in inverted commas, normal woman, i.e. Jesse, meeting a rich, famous actor, i.e. Tom, and they fall in love. But no matter how much they push these two characters, who obviously had sexual chemistry, together, they just aren't meant to be a couple. In series two, they pushed and pushed, which is why series two didn't work. That's why I was so intrigued by what they would do in series three. I don't know how much that theory stands up now I've watched series three. I don't think anyone can know unless you're one of the writers involved. The truth is that perhaps the writers had something else entirely in mind, because series three isn't really about Jesse and Tom's on-off relationship. It's about Jesse growing up. Perhaps they were just never meant to be. Remember I mentioned in Starstruck series one, Tom shut Jesse in a hotel bathroom for hours so the actress he was sleeping with didn't know about her. If a man did that to me, it would be the last time I saw him. But not so for Jesse. In series 3, Tom goes behind his fiance's back, and kisses Jesse. Another reason to have nothing to do with a man. Unless you're Jesse. Back in the joy of series 1, Jesse is emotionally immature. She can't hold down a job, she can't have a relationship, she can't be open about her feelings. It's what leads to her chaos, her wonderful chaos. When she meets Tom, she meets a kindred spirit. He doesn't quite have her humour or her sparkling personality, but he matches her in emotional maturity. Two good, kind people trying to do the right thing and consistently messing up. Series 1 made us think that this was a romance story. Maybe I'm right and the writers thought that too, but two emotionally immature people with little in common just won't work out, no matter how many times they're drawn to each other or you push them together. Series 3 opens with Jesse's friends moving on in life, getting married, having babies, while she appears stuck. She meets the gorgeous, lovely Liam at Kate's wedding, the same wedding where Tom kisses her before telling her he's engaged to someone else. The joy of Series 3 is that it then swerves the on-off Jesse-Tom relationship and moves the spotlight onto Jesse, her friendships, her life reverting back to the woman who has casual sex, the way she feels about herself when Tom kisses her and when she has to lie to his fiancé's face. This is done in such a subtle way that you might not notice it happening until the final episode. But Jesse is growing, which is what all well-developed characters should do in a story. By that final episode, Jesse has grown up. She quietly conducts herself with dignity around Tom and puts beautifully into words what I think a lot of us had already figured out long ago. They're not meant to be. She ends up getting in Liam's van and heading off into the London night with a man who was there for her without being in her face about it, who shares her humour, who is warm and kind, and who is drawn to her as she is drawn to him, not just for sex, but when they genuinely need support. So, the major writing lessons from Starstruck. Let's start with the big one. I don't think Series 2 needed to exist. At all. You could have ended Series 1 with Jesse and Tom getting together on the bus and gone straight into Series 3, which begins with a montage of their relationship slowly breaking down, which is basically what Series 2 is. Middles are incredibly tough to write. I think Starstruck is an excellent example of why we should be holding off publishing that trilogy or selling that first TV script until we have the entire thing mapped out. You need to know what your story is about from beginning to end, even if it's split up. Did the writers of Starstruck know what would happen in Series 3 when they started on Series 2? Who knows? Well, I mean, they know. The problem with a saggy middle is that it will turn away fans, readers, viewers. I know people who won't watch Series 3 of Starstruck because they disliked Series 2 so much, and that's a great shame. Series 3 is good. If you enjoyed Series 1, you should give it a go. The other big lesson here is accepting when two characters just don't work together. Series 2 felt like writers pushing together two people who weren't compatible. Series 3 felt like the writers allowed the characters to take control and show who they really are, and that's where the great story comes out. It's so hard when you want two characters to be together, but they refuse. Been there, done that. I spent ages trying to push two characters together in my first novel, Matter of Time. She wasn't having it. He was all for it. When I sat back and asked her why and explored who she really was, she told me that she was gay and in love. And everything suddenly fell into place after that. And the story worked so much better than I had planned. Why didn't she just tell me that at the beginning? Well-developed characters will eventually go and do their own thing. Let them. That is probably actually one of the biggest writing lessons. Well-developed characters, they come to life, they go and do their own thing. Your job as the writer, as the storyteller, is to let them. Just follow them around and write down what they do. Follow them, listen to them, let them take you on a better story than the one you had planned. And suddenly, you have a character growing up. Leaving the other one behind and letting him down gently in a beautiful scene inside a hospital chapel. Star Trek was probably supposed to be a love story about a chaotic woman and a famous actor falling in love, but it turned out to be the story of a chaotic woman growing up, figuring out what she needed, and maybe falling in love with being able to just be herself. There are tons of stories out there about people falling in love with celebrities. They tend to be shallow and boring. There aren't enough clever stories of people settling into who they are. Sometimes the story isn't what you think it will be. sometimes it will be something better. The most magical part about writing, for me personally, is when characters come to life and make the story better by doing something that you weren't expecting. It really is like they become a separate part of you. They come alive. And I really hope that that's what happened in Starstruck, only because of the magic involved in writing that. And I hope that's a feeling that you have experienced as a storyteller, or that you get to soon experience if you're just starting out, because there's nothing quite like the feeling of your characters coming to life and running off with you following hurriedly behind, writing everything down. And that's it. That's it. See? Not as long as we all thought it was going to be. I honestly don't know how that happened. How long would these have been if I'd have done them separately? Anyway, that's it. I will see you next week, storytellers. Have a lovely week. Bye!